free market principles to save the free market system.
In a world of conventional confusion,
there will be time for them to make profits. Now's not that time.
Daddy, what do taxes pay for?
Oh, why everything. Policemen, trees, sunshine. And let's not forget the folks who just don't feel like working, God bless them.
Don't be afraid of your freedom.
Prepare to unshackle your mind.
An idea whose time has come cannot be stopped by any army or any government.
Your professor has arrived. Tom Woods. Beware, citizen. You are now departing from the world of allowable opinion. The Tom Woods Show.
Welcome, everybody. It's Tuesday, July 1st, 2014. 10th or Tuesday, once again, with Michael Bolden, founder and executive director of the 10th Amendment Center. Check them out at 10thamendmentcenter.com. Make sure and stay tuned after my conversation with Michael for a bit of an update on how I have improved my mental health by making one significant change in my life. This is very, very important to me. I'll just leave it at that, leave it mysterious, and I'll give you more details in a little while. But right now, let's turn to our friend, Michael Bolden. Michael, welcome back for another 10th or Tuesday.
Tom, thanks for having me here. Good morning.
You have a brand new report that can be read by anybody on the state of the nullification movement. We'll link people to that. Well, why keep them in suspense? 10thamendmentcenter.com/report. And I do want to spend some time talking about that. But we've got to talk about that Greenpeace blimp thing.
Okay.
So yeah, I don't want to give it away.
Very exciting.
Yeah. You tell people the whole story. I'm not going to give anything away. You tell them the story.
So 10th Amendment Center, via our organization, it's basically a sister organization over at offnow.org, where we have a coalition across the political spectrum, as we've talked on this show, Tom, to turn off resources and partnership with the NSA on a state level has been gaining some attention. And because of that, we were invited to be in a very unusual coalition to do an action to remind people that the NSA is involved in illegal activity all the time, every day. And it was to basically try to coincide with approximately the one-year anniversary of the Snowden leaks. 10th Amendment Center partnered with the Electronic Frontier Foundation, which is a great digital privacy rights organization, and Greenpeace, of all people, to fly an airship directly over the NSA data center in Utah, and then had this sign on it that says, illegal spying happening here, with an arrow pointing down at the data center. You look online, you find the pictures of these things. It's absolutely incredible. The amazing thing to me is that, and the behind-the-scenes conversation that Mike Meharry, our communications director, had with the people over at Greenpeace, for example, is they were basically saying, hey, we know that there's not going to be a lot of common ground between our two organizations, but yes, let's keep talking and see if we can find more places to agree on. And to me, that's extremely exciting that organizations such as the 10th Amendment Center and Greenpeace, which are going to be at odds on most everything, can say, you know what, instead of focusing on all that negativity, just like the powers that be want us to do, they want to keep average people in the streets fighting amongst each other so they can keep taking power for themselves. Instead, we're giving an example to say, let's focus on one thing. Let's find the positives where we can cross paths together. And I know, Tom, you had that blog recently talking about reaching out to the Christian right and connecting. And I think whether it's the Christian right, the left, the neocons, the progressives, the greens, whatever, I think people who believe in liberty can find common ground with anybody. And I think we should spend more time focusing on where we find common ground rather than just picking fights and telling everybody how they're wrong.
Well, I have to say, Michael, even though I've been skeptical in the past of the extent to which it is possible to work with the left, because I just think so many of them are hopeless, completely, utterly hopeless and beyond reach, at the same time, I have to acknowledge that you have shown that I'm not entirely right. I mean, you have had tangible, real successes in that department. However, let's point out the minority. Let's say something about the minority of leftists who have been skeptical of working with you because of how dangerous and quote-unquote extreme you are. Now, let me first of all point out, as I always do when I use the word extreme, I don't see what's wrong about being extreme. It depends on extremely what, right? I mean, extremely, you really believe in justice like a whole lot. Why would that be bad? Extremely awesome. Why would that be bad? So extreme just leaves you hanging. Extremely what? What? Tell me what your problem with me is. Anyway, there was an article on some website I had never heard of, but apparently that has some decent readership, that was warning, don't work with the 10th Amendment Center, because before you know it, they're going to turn off the water to the local welfare agency. Tell us about that.
Well, this is a talking point that they actually picked up from Think Progress, our buddy Ian Millhiser.
Ian Millhiser, I know, the guy just won't, when I say die, I don't mean physically, I mean his ideas just won't go away.
Oh, no, physically he also won't just go away either. Ian is kind of like a mosquito, and he really loves centralized power. He actually will take positions. He poses as a progressive. He works for the Center for American Progress, which runs Think Progress. It's a really, well, I won't use the words that I want to, but basically he loves centralized power so much that he'll take positions that oppose what his core constituency actually support.
Yeah.
It actually came to the point recently in the past couple of years that he started noticing that these tenthers and libertarians, for example, were gaining ground in leading the effort to stop the drug war, for example. They're gaining favor amongst progressives because of state-level efforts to nullify federal marijuana laws. And he said, I like the idea of doing this, but it's got to come from Washington, D.C. So in essence, he would take the position that, look, while I don't like the drug war, I'd rather have it than them lead the way to it. And the same kind of thing came up regarding our effort to turn off water and resources to the NSA data center in Utah and eight other states that they have facilities. Basically, we're concerned that this is going to work, and therefore people will start putting into practice in other areas, whether it's the local welfare office or whatever it may be. I mean, maybe they'll turn off water to a local DEA office, and I don't think that would be too bad. So this same thing was trotted out at it's supposed to be a tech website called Pando Daily. If you follow tech blogs like TechCrunch and Engadget, this was a spinoff, and they had some big writers for them at first, but it didn't really catch on. So they do have some notoriety in that realm, and they basically wrote the same thing, like, this is dangerous. We don't want them to do this. Progressives shouldn't support this, even though they really are starting to get on board with that message, because it might work. And to me, that is the biggest green light we can hear. Because it might work. But they're saying basically that the 10th Amendment Center, even though we can barely raise $15,000 to fund our organization, is somehow the most dangerous thing on the face of the earth. And maybe that's a badge of honor, or this guy's an idiot, or a combination of the two. I'm not sure. It's David Holmes over at Pando Daily.
Yeah, I tweeted to him the other day. Guys should follow me on Twitter, at Thomas E. Woods, and follow the 10th Amendment Center, at 10th Amendment, spelling out the word 10th. And I reminded him, I'm sure he already knew this, I hope, but that when Otto von Bismarck created the modern welfare state in the 19th century, he did so not so much because he was shedding tears about the fate of the working man or any such naive nonsense as that, but that he thought the population would be easier to control if I send them checks with their names written on them. And then people will be much, much less likely to be rebellious, because then the checks will get cut off. So in other words, I want to turn people into pathetic, dependent boobs, the better to manipulate them and keep them in their place. Well, this Holmes in his article says, well, look, if it's a choice between, the welfare state and the government reading my email, well, the government can read my email. So, I mean, it's... He's been turned into exactly the boob Bismarck wanted. Yeah, spy on me all you want, as long as the checks keep coming. That is all the proof we need that this is the point of these government programs. It's not to make people better off, because when you look at the record of them, they haven't made people better off, but they have made people a lot more helpless, which is just the way the government wants them. All right, that's my own little soapbox thing on that.
You know, but just to add on that, if I were, let's say, David Holmes, and I loved the welfare state, and I believed in it, and I believed in all these programs, but hated spying, I would take the position of, yeah, let's work together to stop the spying. But because this welfare stuff is so awesome, and I can convince everybody it's awesome, I'm not worried about it. So
exactly.
To me, I think it's a false debate. It either tells us that he doesn't believe in the strength of what he's doing, or, well, maybe that's just it. I don't know. But
well, and of course, also, he could perpetuate the wealth, even if by some miracle. I mean, how tone-deaf to American political reality can you be to think we're on the verge of repealing the entire welfare state? I mean, really. That is seriously tone-deaf. But suppose, by some miracle, that happened. You could still replicate the welfare state on the state level if you wanted to. Now, I'm not saying I support that, but just in terms of nullification and the 10th Amendment, that would be a state decision. I mean, it's not like every single school lunch program would go away. Like, you could, but he is so wedded to the federal government being in charge of everything that he can't conceive of any other way of organizing society.
You know, Tom, I often use something that you said to me in an interview in marketing materials to talk about how much the 10th Amendment Center has done for nullification. From now on, I need to use this guy, this David Holmes, who now says that the 10th Amendment Center has the power to shut down the entire American welfare state tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's like, he's over to, I mean, I would love to think that what we're doing is that awesome, extremely awesome, but it's unrealistic. But,
you know, maybe you should take Holmes on a tour of the 10th Amendment Center, a physical tour of the facility.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to clean up the spare bedroom a little bit, but you know.
All right, let's switch gears now and talk about this State of the Nullification Movement report that you wrote. This is a report that people can download and read online or print out. It's how long is it?
30 pages.
Wow, nice. Well, first of all, I'm glad we have 30 pages worth of news, right?
Well, there's 30 pages of writing. I've never sat down, and I know how, like, when you're writing a book, Tom, I read and hear the stories of how this is an all-day, all-night thing, and I can't imagine coming up with 270 pages on anything after going through that experience for 30. I mean, I feel it now. I understand it, especially when you're on a deadline and you're thinking, okay, now I really have to come up with something good. But luckily, I was able to work with Mike Meharry, who helped me with some editing, and Jeff Stewart, who did some great graphic work. And the content just speaks for itself. I was able to basically sit down and write what I experienced. I mean, it wasn't a personal story, but because I'm so involved in this state-level resistance to D.C. federal power, I know all the little pieces that are kind of moving in different areas that people aren't able to see as a big picture. Someone might be interested in what's happening on the drug war, but they're not knowing that there are 8-9 states that are blocking warrantless cell phone tracking and the receipt of such information from NSA or FBI or whatever federal agency may be passing that information along through fusion centers to state and local law enforcement. But so this is a really cool thing to put this big picture together to say there is a movement happening, and even though it may seem disjointed, there is a serious resistance to federal power. And just on July 1st now, there's a new bill that just came into effect, a new law in Georgia that actually isn't in the report, or it may be. I mean, probably briefly, but in more detail, just coming into effect this month, that bans the state of Georgia from implementing significant portions of the Affordable Care Act. And with the court ruling, which is very rare, on a very narrow portion as well, you see all kinds of things starting to break down. The idea is states are chipping away and breaking down these federal actions and programs, and if they just up the game, it's going to create serious problems for implementation.
This report itself, I think, is a very smart move on your part. It's a smart move to put in one place the theory behind what you're doing, the history behind what you're doing, the actual outcomes that we've seen, and then where you want to go in the future, what you have done, what you can do, and what you need. That's the report in a nutshell. It's very important for your supporters and donors for you to produce things like this. It should yield you more supporters and donors if we play our cards right here. And I say we because you're one of the only people I ever have on this show where I say to people, support this guy. I trust him. I know him well. I can tell you for a fact he's not paying for limousine rides with the money. Like, everything is going to something worthwhile. It's very, very important, this cause. And what he's been able to do, this Michael Bolden you're listening to right now, is one person, with some help now, but really it was the idea of one person, is, I think, more significant than what any Washington, D.C. think tank has ever done. And he did it out of his apartment. I mean, think of what he could do with twice the budget, 5-10 times the budget, which is not that hard because the budget right now is pretty small. Let's go through this report a little bit, though. I want to dive right into the meaty section. I'm going to bypass the history stuff. They get enough of that on the show. Let's jump right into some of the issues that you have identified as being 10th Amendment decentralist issues that are live today. What among them would you pick out if you had to tell us about two of them? Which would those be?
I think the two most powerful ones are nullifying or rejecting federal gun control measures on a state level. And then secondly, we've already talked a little bit about it, this off now nullify NSA campaign. And one, back in 1975, Frank Church, he was a senator on a committee, a really important committee on NSA surveillance. Back in 1975, he gave out this warning that basically said, you know, the power of the NSA as it was in the 70s, pre-internet, was so strong that if it were ever turned on Americans, to be used on Americans, there would be no corner of privacy left anywhere. That was 40 years ago, 39. And he said Congress needs to do something about this. And in 40 years, Congress has not only done nothing, they've taken many steps to make things worse. Patriot Act, information sharing environment, et cetera, et cetera. And it's gotten worse and worse and worse. So 40 years of waiting, we're tired of waiting for complicit criminals to fix the problem that they created. And in less than 1 year, we have made positive steps forward on a state level, on a tiny budget of just a few thousand dollars, and have had 9 states pass bills that reject or ban warrantless location tracking information on cell phones. We have a couple of states that have banned the sharing of information without a warrant between NSA and local law enforcement. Here in California, there's a bill moving forward that would create a mechanism to turn off all resources to the NSA or FBI or any federal agency. It doesn't actually target just NSA, any federal agency engaged in these mass warrantless surveillance programs. So let's say, and I'll be very conservative about it, let's say we've accomplished 1% of what we've wanted to do. Well, in 9 months, on a few thousand dollar budget, we've accomplished 1%. And in 40 years, on trillions of dollars, Congress has accomplished minus 50%. So if people really want to get something done, this is a huge example of how we can actually have an effect and possibly in the long run actually win for liberty.
You must sit around from time to time and imagine what you would do if you had a budget that was even 1/100th the budget of these D.C. think tanks. What are the kinds of things that you secretly dream of doing with the 10th Amendment Center?
Well, you know, I don't have a lot of time to fantasize.
That's right, because you're working so hard. That's right. Yeah, you're just sitting around thinking.
I mean, if I was sitting around just kind of pondering, like, man, if I just had... So I live a lot in reality, and I don't see that kind of money coming. But there is a significant amount that we would do. We would put out more reports like this on a regular basis. We would have a full, regular, full-time staff of people educating state legislators, working with grassroots groups, teaching them, holding phone conferences and meetings and explaining them how this stuff works, and then how to get it done. We've learned how to do this, what it takes to get these bills passed. And we would do a lot of advertising. We would do videos, all kinds of stuff. I mean, the list is endless what we could do. But what we are doing already, I think, is very significant. And not just, again, on the NSA, but on the right to keep and bear arms. There are a handful of states, Alaska, Kansas, Missouri, and others that are taking steps forward to nullify federal gun control. In August, the people of Missouri are voting on a state constitutional amendment that would require, it would quote, obligate the state to defend infringements, defend against infringements on the right to keep and bear arms against anybody. So this includes the federal government. That sets the stage for further action for them to interpose against federal acts that violate your right to keep and bear arms.
I was going to ask you about 2014, but we're halfway done with 2014 already. So let's say mid-2014 to mid-2015, what kind of plans do you have? Do you intend to take the show on the road again with the Nullify Now tour, or do you think it's more cost-effective to just stay put and use the internet and other resources to get the message out? What is on your agenda for the next year?
Well, we're actually moving kind of internally if we're talking about strategic structure. And basically what we've learned is that very few people stand for our type of belief of the Constitution on every issue and let's nullify everything that these people are doing. There's very few people that want to do that, so it's hard to find enough people that believe in that to get a lot of things done. So what we've found the most success in, and we learned a great deal with offnow.org, is that if you put out a plan of action on a specific single issue, you can bring in all kinds of people who disagree with you on everything else but want to work with you and will help you further that particular cause. So we're creating a series of single issue campaigns. We're furthering our Off Now Nullify NSA campaign. We'll expand that to drone surveillance. We're building a single issue campaign on the right to keep and bear arms to expand our efforts to nullify federal gun control. We're also have another team to work with the same type of project on Obamacare, another one on the drug war. We're looking at possibly doing things on asset forfeiture, which is how basically the local governments are stealing all kinds of money to help the federal government carry out their acts, hemp freedom, et cetera, et cetera. So each issue that we've worked on, instead of putting it out there as a big picture, we're building volunteer teams that are focusing solely on that issue, working with legislators that are interested solely in that issue, grassroots groups that are interested solely in that issue, so that they can stay very focused and accomplish a great deal more. In essence, we're setting up like 5-6 separate organizations on single issues. I mean, if you were looking at it in kind of a big picture.
That's interesting that you've made that discovery. That's not something you could have known until you went out there and saw what the response was among the public. Well, Michael, I want to encourage people, of course, to support you at 10thAmendmentCenter.com. Find you guys on Facebook, where you have a great many likes, so you'll be among all the cool people by liking you guys on Facebook. Also, to check out the report, which people can read for free. Of course, if they think that they've enjoyed reading it, they might send in a little donation at 10thAmendmentCenter.com/report. Any parting words?
No, just stay extremely awesome, everyone. And Tom, thank you so much for having me on.
Always a pleasure, Michael. Thanks again. Everybody, make sure and check out 10thAmendmentCenter.com/report. All right, so what was I talking about my mental health? Well, all right, you guys have heard me talk again and again about the sorts of topics that I'm covering in the courses that I'm doing for the Ron Paul Homeschool Program. Each of these courses, the full year courses anyway, are 180 videos, 36 weeks, 5 lessons a week. It's just an unbelievable amount of work. I've done one full course, Western Civilization to 1492. That was 180 lessons. Then I did a half course. I'm doing half the government sequence. I'm doing government 1B, so that's 90 lessons. I've done that. And I'm getting started on Western Civilization 2, which goes from 1492 up to the present. And then finally, the U.S. Constitution, which is, again, another 180 videos. And it's going to cover just everything. I mean, from the colonial period all the way up through the Obamacare decision. And, of course, Lysander Spooner will be mentioned. I'm very, very pleased about the overall outline of that course. So that's hundreds more videos right there. And I was going to make both of those courses, Western Civ 2 and U.S. Constitution, available as of this fall, 2014. And I just can't possibly do that. I could do that if I wanted to sacrifice, let's see, my kids, my marriage, everything that matters to me. But otherwise, there's just no way I can do that. And there's no way I could keep my mental health, get adequate sleep. There's just no way. I mean, I'm just completely worn down as it is. So I'm able to do Western Civ for the fall of 2014 and U.S. Constitution for the fall of 2015. But given that We have plenty of 11th grade level courses, and the Constitution course is geared toward 11th graders. There are plenty of things for 11th graders to take at ronpaulhomeschool.com, so we're not really holding up the curriculum in any way, but we are holding up my mental condition. So that's what's going on, and I feel so much better. I can handle this workload, which is still crazy, but it's manageable. I can do it. Before we get to what we'll be covering the rest of the week, if you appreciate what I'm doing, please consider becoming a supporting listener of the program over at supportinglisteners.com. You get transcripts of all the interviews, and in fact, by popular demand, people were saying, we don't want just PDF, we want EPUB. So all the new transcripts are all in both formats. You get discounts at major Liberty retailers around the internet, 60% off at my libertyclassroom.com. And when my new book is out, which should be sometime this year, you guys will get that. It's basically an e-book that I'm reluctantly putting into print as a print book, but it's an e-book primarily. So you guys will get that, of course. Plus, I've got a bunch of goodies that I will be announcing later this month that you guys will also get. I'm just going to be constantly adding goodies to this, because I appreciate people who support the show. So supportinglisteners.com. You can always support the show for nothing by making your purchases through our Amazon widget at tomwoodsradio.com. So what are we covering the rest of the week? Tomorrow we're going to be talking to Charles Sauer of the Free Market Medical Association. I bet you've never heard of the Free Market Medical Association. That's because they just started it, and it looks like a very interesting and important organization. So we'll talk to Charles tomorrow. Then Thursday, it's Pete Leeson, who's going to talk about his new book, Anarchy Unbound, published by, I think it's Oxford. It's really quite something, the quality of the publishers releasing libertarian books these days. So we'll be talking to Pete Leeson of George Mason University on Thursday about Anarchy Unbound, why self-governance works better than you think. No program on Independence Day. I'm going to take the day off on Independence Day, as should you. So we'll see you the next week after that. So don't be looking for a program on the 4th. We'll start right up again on the 7th. All right, thanks so much for listening, everybody. See you tomorrow.
The Tom Woods Show.